He is sick with terror, and he does not know what to do next. A hand pulls him up by the hair, and a soldier is staring at him.
"Are you ever going to come back and steal anything ever again from the Ankar?"
he asks Keem. "No, comrade," Keem whimpers as blood drips out of his mouth. But that isn't enough for them. More hands and more legs continue their assault on him. The same questions are asked of him, and the same answer is given. Then one soldier takes his rifle off his shoulder and points it at him. Keem cries then, tears pouring out faster than the rain can wash away. "Please, comrade, spare my life. Don't kill me," he begs them, his body trembling. One soldier laughs at him. He is no longer a boy trying to be the man of the house, trying to be brave, wanting to take care of his family. He is just a 12-year-old boy now, looking into the barrel of a rifle. "Please, comrade, don't kill me. I know I've done a bad thing. I will never do it again." The soldier stands there, his rifle rigid in his hand. Then he turns the rifle around and smashes its butt into Kim's skull. White pain flashes everywhere in his body as he falls down but dares not cry. "Please, comrade, don't!"
"Just go," the soldier interrupts him. "Take your bags and go. Don't ever come back, because next time I will shoot your brains out."
Keem rises unsteadily to his feet and limps home. At home, Chu, Ma, Gek, and I sit quietly waiting for Keem to return. "Chu, Keem's really late tonight. I'm worried about him," I say to her. "It's hard to see out there. He's probably lost his way. It's raining pretty hard." Upon hearing me, the night turns black with evil as the wind howls and a thunderstorm cracks its lightning whips above us. Ma quietly tries to calm Gek, who is afraid of the storm. I turn and see Ma put her hands over her mouth to stifle a scream. My gaze turns to the direction where Ma is looking. Against the backdrop of the dark, I see Keem's 12-year-old body leaning against the door. In his hand are two empty, rain-soaked bags. He is drenched from the rain, but I see the unmistakable color of blood on his clothes and marks on his muddy face. His eyes are half-closed. He is shaken, but he does not cry. Ma rushes over to him and gently touches his wounded face. She cries over his cut, swollen lips and cringes as she touches the blood dripping from his skull.